was sitting listening to the two previous speakers, I couldn't help but rejoice in what we have, and especially the words of Brother Bob. And I thought back of the many precious thoughts and the memories that we have when Bob was in our class. And the principles that he taught you today were the principles that he tried to teach us in the years that he was in our class in Washington. So it really brought things home to us. It gave me a deep thrill. I've taken just a little bit different standpoint than what the two previous speakers have. I've taken a very, very practical approach to this wolves in sheep's clothing. To prepare for this, I went through the reprints and through the scriptures and hunted out all the scriptures pertaining to this and all the reprint comments. And I have those Xeroxed, and we'll provide those for those of you that so desire. I have one for each family, so there's probably about 60 or 65 of them, so please try to make sure that we have enough for everybody, and if we don't, I'll be glad to mail them to you as need be. So we've taken a very practical approach to this, but to start with, I would like to direct your attention to the 13th chapter of Hebrews, the 9th verse. Now you will recall in the early part of the book of Hebrews that Paul has warned that we are different from the administering spirits and the angels, in that our elder brother has invited us to sit on the right hand of the Father, was invited to sit upon the right hand of the Father until all enemies have been crushed. And now we are part of that invitation, providing we listen earnestly to the things which we have heard and hold fast and not permit it, the truth, to slip, and as the dialogue puts it, to glide away. And this is found at the first chapter, towards the end of Hebrews, and the end of the first chapter and the beginning of the second chapter. Now let's go to Hebrews 13:9, the dialogue. Be not you therefore led by various and foreign doctrines, for it is an excellent thing for the heart to be established by favor. This is a dialogue, I think that reminds you of that. Not by ailment, in which those were not profited who walked in them. Then moving back up to the 7th verse, remember your leaders. Now I direct your attention to these scriptures because we hope to show that therein lies the danger in following wolves in sheep's clothing during the perilous times of the future. Not that we're saying our leaders are wolves in sheep's clothing, but those who come into our class and want to be teachers rather than to be learned. Now, first of all, we have to establish a vocabulary so that when I tell you what's on my mind, you understand what I'm conveying, because I might conjure up in my mind, one picture, and you may have another one. So let's bring this down to simplicity. We have reduced this down to the simplest form. We're talking about real life as much as possible, and from now on we're not going to be referring to the scriptural admonition. The Lord did not use the word flock nor sheep loosely. These words meant something very specifically to the hearer, so So let us try to establish, if possible, the correct thought that he was trying to establish to the hearer. Now, by nature, sheep are a very quiet, docile animal. In many ways, they're somewhat helpless. Sheep don't often think too much for themselves, and they like to be led by others. And once the particular leader of the flock decides to pick up and move on, then all will follow. But not until the leader has moved out does the rest of the flock follow. This is why often the shepherds of old chose goats to be the leader, because they were not only the leader, but they were also the protector of the flock. Now we move on to the animal mother. This is what we're getting into. The mother detects her offspring by the smell shortly after birth. This odor of the offspring is encoded within their brain for the rest of the growing period of that lamb, and they will never be fooled. Now let us suppose that a mother is having difficulty in giving birth to these lambs, and the first lamb is born dead. And she arises and it smells of this lamb, and so on and so forth. And on the second lamb also she has difficulties, and you become the midwife. You help it. The lamb is weak, and you decide that we've got to do something to this lamb or it's going to die. So without thinking, the relationship between the mother and lamb, you take the lamb to the house, to the old kitchen stove, you give it a little liquid spirits to revive the lamb, put it in the old oven, and the heat pours over the lamb, and 2 hours later, the lamb is revived. You take the lamb out to the barn, put it with the mother, thinking that, well, we've done a good deal here. And the first thing you know, the mother takes one smell of the lamb. What are we going to do? We've got a lamb here. Are we going to raise it by the bottle, or what are we going to do? Well, then the herdsman learned an old trick. The shepherd learned an old trick. You take the skin of the dead lamb, put it upon the new lamb, the lamb that she won't detect, you sew it around, and then the mother smells the odors of the old lamb that died, and then she will accept the lamb. And thereby, as the skin dries up, she not only smells her dead lamb, but she smells the new lamb, and before long, she cannot distinguish the difference between the lamb that died and her new lamb. So this lamb, or the wolf in sheep's clothing, is now in the flock with the same odor as the other sheep. Now moving on, what is the flock? Well, there are certainly those that have faith in the leaders to lead them to that greener pasture beside those still waters and beside that quiet brook to feed upon those things in the scriptures, those waters of truth. Now, we're going to talk about some realities of life that might happen, but I also want you to keep in mind that if we present these here in this class, the adversary also knows them, so he's certainly not going to use the techniques that we suggest here, and we hope that the techniques that we suggest here are wolves being in sheep's clothing and entering into our classes are ridiculous. The examples that I use, and I hope that you will keep bear this in mind. Now let us suppose that we have a nice ecclesia, we're having excellent studies, and then all of a sudden somebody knocks on our door and says, we heard a radio program and we have been referred to you, or we saw a film that you were showing and we want to study with you. Oh boy, come on in. So you start studying with them, you bring them into your class, you bring them into your heart, you bring them into your family, and you try to do everything possible to teach them the Bible as we know it. Everything goes fine, no problems whatsoever. This goes on maybe 6 months, a year or so, and all of a sudden, you're hearing something that just is not quite right. And so you correct their thinking, you tell them that it's just and so, and you get a little bit of an argument. But, well, we don't want to disrupt our class, we don't want any disharmony in our class, so we pass it over. Things go on a while, and then the first thing you know, something else comes up. And you try to express it. You are a little bit more emphatic that this is not quite the way you accept it. And they are equally as emphatic. For instance, let's just take some examples of what might happen. And I suspect that maybe some of you are not aware of that. I think it's 1906 or 1907. There rose a discussion over the correct date of the memorial. And let's suppose that somebody happens to have a Jewish calendar and they're pointing out that you're just one day off. And they proceed to pursue this thing. And you attempt to explain the difference or the way in which it's derived. You explain it to them privately, you explain it to them in class, you go over it, the class explains it to them, and they still persist that they're right. And you're wrong, because after all, the Jews have kept their calendar all of these years, and you're wrong. What do? Do you continually take concentrated time to the Lord to explain this, or what do you do? So this is an example of some of the little idols that they may have brought into your class and caused problems. Well, let us suppose that there's other differences. And, you know, a lot of times you will take an isolated scripture and read it. And that scripture will say so-and-so. And if you don't watch it, the next thing you know, you will find your class nodding their head. This is something that the class has known. Okay, that's what the scripture says. But we know from other studies and other information that that is not exactly what is being presented at that particular time. We have a problem on our hands. Another thing that might come up. For instance, we know that in the selection of a replacement for Judas, they went to a old Jewish custom of selecting Matthias. Now the scripture does not say that God rejected Matthias. It does not say that God accepted Matthias. But we know that Matthias dropped out of the picture. So we're pointing out ridiculous arguments that are out here in the world, that there were 13 apostles and so on and so forth. So these are the things that you have to be careful about. And why does a class let themselves even think on these things? So we're going to give you some reasons why this might happen. This brother or sister presenting these different views are usually very dynamic personalities. They present themselves as very students. And they're capable of identifying and quoting scriptures, whether they're applicable or not. This is impressive. And after all, they have dedicated their lives to the Lord, the same as you. It's very persuasive, but quite convincing in the class. Because of their ability to recall scriptures, state unequivocally that this is what the scripture says, or that is what the scripture says, and no deviation from it. And of course, if you don't watch your class, the first thing you know, you find yourself maybe a prophet in your own country without honor. These people are extremely zealous for the Lord. They have told you in the class how the Lord has led them to your class to find the truth. They find the truth within your class as taught nowhere else. But now they want to teach you the truth as they have learned. They know what's out there. Because they've been out there. They're very impressive. They use flattering words to impress it upon the class. And they can't fool you unless you have had private conversations with them and know exactly where and where from whence they come. These words are flattering. They're very impressive. And also, what they might do, if you attempt to illustrate or teach with types and shadows, that's not legitimate. But that's all right for them to come along and use their words to teach you. Because my words are not the words of man. Another thought comes to mind. We are told to study and show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of God. So, we have studied these things, we've been over them time and again. Maybe 30 years ago we went over, for instance, tabernacle, whatever you want to pull out. It was fresh in our minds, but somewhere along the line in the scriptures it says we're leaky sieves. So it's leaked out. It may come along with fresh ideas. Another thing that has happened is the class has not made those doctrines their own. And somebody else comes along and says, this is what this scripture says. And on first reading, this is what the scripture means. You have a problem. Another thought. We have listened to others and we have not proven these things ourselves. We are not enough Bereans. We rely upon those presenting the information to us. They are accurate. The Bereans went home and checked upon those instructions. And we suddenly discovered that the one has come into our class to teach us of truth didn't really come to learn at all. But all they want to do is to teach. They are teaching doctrines that they have taught themselves, that they've heard from other sources. They're not able to change their thinking regardless of what you're trying to teach them. What you have found that you have in your class is an unneglected elder teaching from the sidelines. Another thing that might come up within your class is the role of women. We have women at Women's Lit. After all, there were prominent women in the Old Testament. Judges and so on and so forth, they played a very important role in the New Testament. Why should not they accept and thereby give women a dominant role within running the church? Well, you know why they shouldn't accept it. Because Christ was the head, the church and the bride were all subjected unto it. Some of these finer doctrines are hard to convince a very convincing arguer, especially when they have their mind blocked and they put a filter in their mind so that what you're hearing does not get through that filter. Now, whether you realize it or not, these little arguments that come up within your class affect the members of the class. And though some of the members within your class feel very strong, very dynamic, they are weak the same as you and I, and they can be persuaded. I hope you recognize there are trials upon the class that are sent to strengthen the class. Maybe fostered by the adversary to try and even split a class, as well as show us whether we are developing the fruits of the Spirit, because they will try your patience. Our adversary is very wise. The Scriptures teach that if we have determined that the Lord has called them and blessed them, that they are consecrated to the Lord the same as you, and have testified to His grace, then what do you do? Now, they don't walk in. I realize the wolves in sheep's clothing are considered elders, but this is too subtle. We all know this, you know. But they come in and they give us. So we have to be on the alert. And this is my message. Be on the alert. Learn the lessons. Learn deep within your heart. And try to teach them as best you can, and it really requires your faith. I think this is why the Lord sent out the disciples and told them to be gentle as doves and wily as a serpent. Be not hasty to accept all as the Lord's simply because they say, Lord, Lord. Examine them. Their theories, their doctrines. Try all spirits, whether they be of the Lord. Accept those things that are proven and reject all things not in line with the truth of the Lord. For you remember, within the gospel age, that the Lord permitted the development of a hierarchy, which has already lived and reigned 1,000 years. And resulted in millions of Christians being slaughtered. As I say, I kept this on a practical basis, very far-fetched to illustrate points still within the realm of possibility. Now, we brought these to your attention. The adversary won't use these. But they are examples of what might come to you from another source. Always be alert. Always be on the lookout. They will come at you from whence you know not. I have about 75 of these handouts, and we'll provide them for you. And we'll get into some of these other things in our discussion. So with this, may the Lord add his blessing.
We could conclude this service with the singing of two verses of another hymn, as someone in selection. 3, 2, 4. First, is that all right? Having a convention, and they asked that it be announced. It's May 8th, Sage Park Junior High, Windsor, Connecticut. It's a new date and a new location. May 8th. Yes. And if that's May 8th, and May 22nd, Agawam has a convention. Ramada Inn.
Frank,
yes.
Action has one April 10th.
That's a little closer, yes. Geographically and time-wise. We have to put a period in this somewhere along the July, New Brunswick, Gap, but I think everybody knows that particular one.
Two verses.
Yes, two verses.